This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Major League Baseball futures market. Yes, no prop bets available at some books. Will a team make the playoffs? Paul Sporer of Fangraphs stopped by to talk with Gil Alexander on a numbers game about a couple of the bets that he likes. He likes the Houston Astros at minus 112 to make the playoffs and the Nationals at plus 130 to make the playoffs. Sporer also discussed with Gil Alexander a couple of long shots that might be worth the investment.
I did chuckle a little bit when I looked at your San Francisco plus 800. I like it. I chuckle because we had already talked about it.
Yes.
That is actually a good number.
Like, it's all it's about really the number, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, hey, they're making the playoffs. But if you give me 8-1, yeah, if you run that thing 8 times this season, they'll get in there more than once, I think.
So I totally get that. I'd be laughed at. Well, not maybe not laughed at. People would check my temperature. They'd wonder if I was okay if I didn't say the Cincinnati Reds. I
mean, right.
I've been hyping them up. And so obviously I have to say that at plus 190 interests me because I think that they're going to make the playoffs. So I'm definitely in on that one. And then one other one here that is probably my least confident, but definitely something that I would consider is Cleveland at plus 230. And I know they traded Lindor. And so it's like, well, what are you talking about? And Carrasco, you know, that's a big deal. But the pitching that they have, even still, along with that kind of top half of the order, might be enough to get a wild card, namely because of the pitching that is what would carry them. But they still have a decent top half of the order. If they can get a breakout or two at the bottom half there, if like Mercado comes back to life, Andrés Giménez, you know, Amed Rosario, something like that, that could help. So plus 230, I think, is a decent number on Cleveland, at least something I would consider.
Paul Sporer of Fangraphs on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, heard from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on VSIN. The long shot numbers, Indians to make the playoffs plus 230, Giants to make the playoffs at plus 800. On the Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw, Bleacher Report NBA writer Andrew Bailey on the NBA's Western Conference.
I think the West is as wide open as it has ever been. I think there are probably 4 or 5 teams that you could make a good faith argument could represent the West in the finals. You know, obviously the Lakers are there and the Jazz have the best record right now. But yeah, I think there are some of those teams that could get a little bit closer if they added a solid role player. You know, PJ Tucker is the guy on the Rockets who's probably not long for that situation. I think they're looking to certainly continued their rebuild, and he hasn't been great this season, but if you put him back on a contender, maybe he's more motivated. I think a team like the Clippers could use a guy like that. They already have solid positionless flexibility with Kawhi and PG and Marcus Morris, but you add one more sort of multi-positional defender there who can hit a corner three. I certainly think that would help.
Bleacher Report NBA writer Andrew Bailey on the Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw. Heard weekdays 2 to 3 Eastern on VSIN. Lakers a plus 175 favorite to win the Western Conference. The Clippers and Jazz plus 275. The Suns and the Trailblazers are both at 20-1. VSIN experts are analyzing all the hoops, hockey, tennis, and soccer action every day to help make you a sharper better. Right now, you can get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guide through the College Hoops Final for just $50. Invest in your sports betting success and start your special offer now at VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Did you miss a VSIN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSIN Best Bets bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gil Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit VSIN.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options. We'll be right back.
Every day brings another opportunity to improve your sports betting knowledge, and the VSiN experts are working around the clock to give you the betting edge. Subscribe today to gain access to the full betting experience of our team of professional bettors, expert guests, and sportsbook insiders. Get the data and analysis you need to improve your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe and take your sports betting game to the next level.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host from Las Vegas. Your other host today is out in Denver, Colorado. That'll be James Salinas. James, how are you doing on a Friday?
It's all good, Pritch. It's Friday. Happy Friday to you, my man. We know it's happy hour somewhere, and we've got a good couple happy hours to get going right here.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Excited to get into it. Excited to break down all the action. And let's start with the action. It continues in the National Football League again because of the tweet. Adam Schefter had this. Everybody pretty much had it. We talked about it a little bit, the Russell Wilson situation. I want to ask you about Russell Wilson in Seattle in a different way because Wilson told the Seahawks he wants to play for Seattle. But if a trade was considered, okay, here's my trade clause. It's the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. So let's start with Seattle. Should Seattle trade Russell Wilson at this point?
No. I mean, that, okay. To me, no way. Where do you go from there if you start? If you trade Russell Wilson, what are you going to do at the quarterback position? I think that's the first question is, yeah, you're going to get plenty in return, but that really just signals that you're starting over because you're not going – you give away a quarterback, the quality and the character and the caliber of a Russell Wilson. I just don't see how Seattle could actually pull that off and do that and how they're going to sell that to the rest of the team, how they're going to sell that to their fan base. And even like you had talked about yesterday, maybe there's a little rift between Pete Carroll and the coaching staff and Russell Wilson, or is it more part of the organization and Russ really just feeling like he wants to have a more of a say and have a bigger voice as far as decisions or even input as far as just being involved more in the game plan, which obviously he should now is basically going to be a 10-year veteran, absolutely should have some say and some influence over those game plans. But as far as him being traded, if there's a rift there, Pritch, between coaching staff and the quarterback, Russell Wilson, if I'm running the ball club there, if I'm the owner, I'm looking for a new coaching staff before I'm looking for a new quarterback.
Well, they've changed it over. They got a new offensive coordinator. Pete Carroll fired Schottenheimer, and so they bring in, Shane Waldron. And so you have a new offensive coordinator. So it's like they're trying to appease Russell. But at the same time, are they preparing for the future too? Because Russell Wilson, I mean, if you look at these teams, James, the Cowboys have Dak. They haven't franchise tagged him yet that I know of. So maybe you could trade for Dak, you know, if you want to go in a different direction as you have a new OC. The Saints, you know, there's Jameis Winston. The Drew Brees has not announced his retirement yet. The Raiders, they have Derek Carr. Okay, you can swap quarterbacks here. And then the Bears. The Bears don't have anybody to trade with, but the Bears are intriguing too because of Deshaun Watson. So Deshaun Watson is dug in. The Texans are dug in. But here you have the Bears screaming that they want a quarterback. Okay, who would be the better fit, Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, if the Bears could pull off a trade like that?
Well, I guess as far as the fit go, are we talking immediate fit or long-term fit? Because obviously with Watson, you know, Russell is not by any means on the downside of his career, but he's been around a decade now, so there's not as many years left within that body and that arm to play football as opposed to Watson, who is just starting to get into the prime of his career, right? He's got he's got plenty of years ahead of him that are going to be incredibly productive, especially depending on obviously where he ends up if he gets out of Houston. But I think as far as the fit goes, I mean, I guess that's You know, if I'm Chicago, I'm looking longer term. I would probably, I mean, I think Russell Wilson probably, you know, he's from, I think he's from Ohio, right? And he played at Wisconsin in college. So he's, you know, he's used to the cold. I think that's one thing that it, I don't know if you ever get used to it outside of if you're living there and you're acclimated to what it's like in Chicago come, you know, November and December, especially, but getting acclimated to that and being able to perform in the cold. But as far as, I don't know, let me ask you this, Pritch, as a former player, as a receiver, especially from the offensive perspective and a receiver perspective. I mean, Russell Wilson, they both can make all the throws, and Russ has a sweet deep ball, right? Puts a lot of air under it, which a lot of receivers like when we're talking about that deep ball over the top. But from a receiver standpoint, an offensive standpoint, what would you be most excited about if that was actually these pipe dreams actually became a reality for the Bears and you got to have either Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson?
I tell you what, I wouldn't go anywhere. I mean, I'd be Allen Robinson, right? I mean, Allen, he's a free agent. I mean, like, okay, he's not going anywhere. I think if you get Russell Wilson in fact, you get Deshaun Watson, and then you look at the fact that the Bears have made the playoffs, two of the last 3 years, primarily because of the defense. And if you throw in a quarterback, the caliber of Russell Wilson, the caliber of Deshaun Watson, who probably the Bears should have drafted in the first place, I think you look at these Super Bowl odds, 50-1, NFC 30-1, those improve. That's different. Now, you are in the same division as Aaron Rodgers. So I find that very interesting that, you know, Russell Wilson noted that the Bears or the Saints, you're looking at divisions in which are, and even the Raiders, you're looking at divisions in which you have that competition, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and then Aaron Rodgers. And so that's what it speaks to me. It speaks volumes of what Russell Wilson might be looking for. But I think if as a receiver, I would be highly excited if one of those two guys stepped in my locker room, just like I was when, you know, Warren Moon or John Elway, getting a chance to play with those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're talking to those two Hall of Famers there. Mm-hmm. And both of these guys have the capacity throughout their career to potentially be in the Hall of Fame, right? So spectacular playmakers and quarterbacks. And that's the other piece is what is the leadership side. But as far as you're talking about the Bears, absolutely. Yeah, they've been in the playoffs. They were in the playoffs again this year. And I think that's the missing piece. And if they're going to make that move, number one, their front office is going to have to, they bite the bullet, right? And say, we made the mistake. If we would have made the right decision back a handful of years ago and not went after Trubisky, we're probably not having these conversations. And these conversations are continuing to be around at what level are the Bears a Super Bowl contender currently? And I think as far as their pieces, parts go, yeah, the defense, very competitive on defense. Offensive line, not a bad offensive line. Mm-hmm. And you talked about Robinson and Mooney, the young kids, got some speed out there on the other side as far as a wideout goes. And Montgomery, I think we saw a much better Montgomery once that offensive line started to get healthier in the second half of the season. Then the Bears actually started to make more of a commitment to running the football, especially that's conducive in those elements out there at Soldier Field come, you know, the second half of the season. But, you know, can that actually happen? I just can't imagine. Maybe it's the Deshaun Watson piece, but I just can't get past the fact with Russell Wilson at Seattle that Seattle would really want to start over and let Russell Wilson go.
I mean, Seattle, it might be implying that, okay, our Super Bowl window is closed with Russell Wilson, which it might be. I mean, I don't know that to be the case. I mean, I look at the rest of that division, San Francisco, quarterback issues or concerns. Okay, look at what the Rams just did. The Rams in that division said, yep, we're done with Jared Goff. We're going to go with Matt Stafford because we feel like we have this Super Bowl window with this defense. Then Arizona still trying to get it right with Kyler Murray. So, I mean, you never know what organization is thinking when it comes to what the Seattle Seahawks could be thinking. But if you're the Bears and you don't have a quarterback, but yet you have a defense that might be ready to make a run at a Super Bowl, what's stopping you from going out and getting a quarterback for, I mean, whatever the cost might be? I think the Bears, they might have to be aggressive this offseason in that way, James.
Well, I think from their standpoint, absolutely. They'll have to get past and get over the fact that they made that mistake a few years ago with Trubisky and say, own it and be accountable to it. And we're moving forward, and this is what we have to do to make this happen. And whatever that cost is going to be, I think that's really that's what's most. It's going to, we talked about the quarterback carousel continuing to spin faster and faster and really intriguing as far as the offseason goes for the NFL and these player moves. But looking looking at what would that cost. And yeah, you're going to be able to get a tremendous quarterback, especially if you got Deshaun Watson there, who's just starting to get into the prime of his career, a lot of years to go. So, but what are you going to have to give up? What is that going to cost you? I mean, on the front end, you're bringing in a great quarterback. Long term, I don't know what that costs you, but you know, as a sports bettor, Pritch, I don't care. I don't care what
exactly
the status of the Bears. I could care less what happens to them over the next 5 to 10 years, as far as whether they're salary cap nightmares and lack of draft capital going forward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if they make that move, beautiful. Post the number. I'll see if I want to bet into it.
Yeah, right now, Super Bowl 50-1, NFC 30-1. Even that division, Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen there. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, obviously some trust issues. And then there's the Lions. So an opportunity, I think, for the Bears, depending on what they do in the offseason and certainly how aggressive they can be. I think if you have a defense like this, you get ultimately very, very aggressive. What about the notion of Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans? Like, as a sports bettor, neither side really wins when they're dug in this deep. But usually, what's the outcome from your experience, James, when you have the organization dug in like this and then you have a player that's dug in? I mean, it doesn't help either side to hold out the entire year.
No, not only from their best playmaker, obviously, and the face and the leader of that team, but then that's really the concern is too, is how does that impact the rest the locker room? How does that impact the rest of those players, knowing full well that they are losing players and that roster is having significant turnover? And if you lose your star quarterback, now what does that mean for this franchise? And what does that mean for me as a player? I don't know, Pritch. You tell me. What does that mean? If you're a receiver on that roster for the Texans, you definitely don't want to see Deshaun Watson leave. But hearing all these rumors and hearsay continually spin around, totally for sure, it's a distraction right now. Nothing going on. But if this continues to linger, like you said, they're both dug in, and this continues to linger. When you start to talk about whatever the offseason is going to look like, OTAs, all those types of things, if he's not going to be present, that's got to be a huge distraction rolling in prior to the season, right?
Not only a distraction. I mean, you're not going to progress. I mean, you're not going to get better. The organization can't get better because look, you're going to draft a quarterback. You're not going to do that. And then, okay, what free agents are you going to be able to bring in as well? You're not going to be able to bring in the top ones that you target. I'm just seeing so many good players walk out the door of the Texans that I just don't know how you proceed when you're dug in like this, just to try to make a point. And I think that's what the Texans are trying to do. Whereas Deshaun Watson just flat out said, I don't want to play here anymore. And I don't know why Houston's not listening to that. And then trying to improve their team with some type of trade that could help them move on.
Maybe it's do you suspect? Well, maybe it's that they as far as the leverage goes, not with Watson, but with other teams, right? Feeling like, all right, the longer this holds on, does that make other teams more desperate, knowing that there's just not a whole lot out there, right? We talked to San Francisco and some of these teams that are right on the edge, right on the verge of Chicago, good competitive team that we talked about, especially on the defensive side, and have some pieces offensively. San Francisco, terrifically coached football team, knows what the identity of that football team is. The culture is set there. They just really need that. They can say all they want, smoke screens around Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's our guy when he's healthy, et cetera. Number one, he's got to stay healthy. And number two, I don't think they believe that. We've seen just watching Shanahan's body language on the sideline when Garoppolo just makes some of those really bad decisions with the football. We saw with McVay when Goff would do the same thing, right? And these young coaches feel like, I don't have my guy. This is not the guy for us moving forward. Like a lot of plenty of other teams out there in need, but not a whole lot else out there to go after. Talk about Wilson, definitely talk about Watson. That's the prize right now, is definitely Deshaun Watson, but not a whole lot out there. So the longer you hold out, do these teams become more and more desperate?
It's possible. I think, you know, I threw out that Houston will not draft a quarterback, but I mean, they don't have the picks either, right? What are they doing? Seriously. I mean, if you are interested in betting the Houston Texans at this point, I mean, certainly bet against them, fade them, whatever you need to do, because it doesn't look like they know what they're doing. I mean, no draft picks, and yet you're going to be dug in with a quarterback in which you could trade to acquire draft picks to help your football team. I don't understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so as far as going against, yeah, I mean, whenever the with season win totals come out, I mean, those are going to be as at, what are they sitting at, 3 or 4? I mean, it's going to be so low. But even when we get to the games, right, I mean, the numbers are going to be priced pretty high on this team. But then that's where you look at, does this where how fractured is this team when they step out on the field?
Right.
We'll see how long this drags out, which sounds like, you know, what you're saying, they're both dug in, and it's going to drag out for quite a while. What does that look like rolling into this end of the season? Who knows what that's going to be? You talked about the distractions. They're not going to be able to progress as a team. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a disaster for the Houston Texans rolling into 2021 throughout the season. And as far as a betting standpoint goes, you know, those numbers are going to be priced pretty high. But, you know, sometimes I'm not a big favorites bettor. I don't usually like to lay a lot of wood in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But in that case, they might be just auto fade regardless of what that number is, because it's really going to be just – it's just a mess of a franchise.
And from a betting perspective, that's why I'm keeping an eye out on this this situation with Chicago, because I think Houston has to trade they have to trade Deshaun Watson. They can't go through this. No draft picks, and then you got a quarterback that could give you the draft picks that you want to help your football team in the future. I mean, that's bad business, one. But then, two, I think Deshaun Watson gets moved, and if the Bears are ultimately very, very aggressive – you're looking at some pricing here that gets interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking 50-1 for the Super Bowl sitting there right now. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're doing that, you're getting out in front and you're right. Prognosticating again. That's it's difficult. That's the gamble right there, right? But yeah. If you're right and you happen to be right, you get them at 51 or even just to win the NFC at 30-1. Those are tremendous prices. So that's the risk you take. And maybe it's worth a handful of dollars. You could fire some money out there. Happy Hour Friday. Why not? Let's take a shot.
I know. Feeling froggy on a Friday, James. Ready to leap, Deshaun Watson. How about that? No, the quarterback carousel, very, very interesting. And keep an eye out for that. How about Major League Baseball? We're going to preview the Toronto Blue Jays. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Be sure to have your state-issued ID. Open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's got great state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. You're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. And James, Major League Baseball, we're previewing a lot of teams. And this team, I'm pretty excited about, Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, I thought they had a decent run in the condensed sprint of schedule that we had last year. 86.5 is their win total. How about that? World Series 25-1, the pennant AL plus 900.
Yeah, I mean, I think World Series is probably definitely out of the question. Just we start in Pritch? We always start with the line with the starting pitching, mm-hmm. right? And with Ryu, terrific starting pitcher on the front end of that rotation. I know there's a lot of talk about Nate Pearson, big horse of a kid, you know, 6'6", 250 to come here, but he's got to be healthy to come out of the bullpen to now be a starter. If he's healthy, there's a lot of upside to him as well. But, you know, the rest of that rotation is just kind of guys who are – been around the league for a while and trying to find a home. And a lot of times you think about Robbie Ray, and you know that he's got so much potential on that left side of the rubber, but you know he struggles sometimes to locate and can be mad. And I know I've bet on him a few we'll just say a few times, and just maddening to watch sometimes when he just can't locate the strike zone. But, you know, as far as the lineup goes, ultimately they're going to score runs, and they're going to be an exciting team to watch. They are going to put – they're going to put runs on the board, and being able to bring over a couple veterans into that starting lineup with Springer and Simeon to really not only kind of stabilize this young lineup, but also show them from day in and day out, here's your approach as a professional, being through a full 162-game season. I think those are great additions when you're talking about being able to add Springer and Simeon to the top of that Blue Jays order.
Yeah, I'm excited about the young lineup, too. I agree with you. 86.5 wins, though. That's a pretty interesting total right there. And I agree with you because they have to look for pitching. They have to find it. I mean, maybe keep an eye on the Blue Jays here during spring training to see if anything kind of emerges that way. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of during the season being buyers. But I'm excited about that young lineup for sure. 86.5 wins. I keep looking at that number, though. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's – you talk about it too, right? Mm-hmm. Midway through the season, we get closer to that trade deadline, end of July, 1st to August. What does that mean? Who's sellers and who's buyers? I think obviously the Blue Jays have made it real clear that they are buyers. They're going after it right now. They like that lineup. You're not going to start making these trades, especially bringing in some of those veterans to just start casting folks aside. It's a young lineup. It's an exciting lineup. I think they're going to be buyers, and they know that they need to add some depth to that pitching rotation. And so within the AL East, if you're looking at season win totals, I mean, half of your games basically are going to be played within your division. And yeah, we know where the Yankees are going to be. They're going to be fighting for the pennant in the AL and contention for the AL East. And more than likely, that's probably what's going to happen if those pitchers coming back that they're counting on from these tough injuries, Kluber and Severino and Taillon. I think that's the hard part. How good are they going to be? So, but you look at some of these other teams within that division, Pritch, I think the Rays are definitely going to have some regression. Anytime you're going to lose Snell and Morton at the top of the order, those are just big pieces to lose in your pitching rotation. I think it's hard to just continue to sustain the competitiveness that we've seen from Tampa Bay. And then as far as Baltimore goes, you know, they're going to just play spoiler, and the Bo Sox still got a lot of issues to work through as well. New outfield, a lot of things going through with the Red Sox. So as far as Tampa being or Toronto being able, or we'll keep referring to them as Tampa because they remind me of the Raptors, because they're going to have to be living most likely in Tampa for at least the first part of the season down there, right? These Tampa Bay Jays, I think they got a shot. So I would lean towards betting the over as far as the win total is concerned.
Okay, over 86.5 to win total. AL East plus 350, and this is what I'm excited about. We're going to have spring training. I mean, we're going to get the chance to see the development of pitching, hopefully, with the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, their lineup produced over 300 runs last year, a third best in the AL. So that's what I'm excited about, James, when it comes to the Blue Jays.
Absolutely. And then, you know, it's going to be a different situation. They're already going to be acclimated to living in Tampa, living in Florida, as opposed to what the Raptors had to deal with.
All right. 6-2 in hockey. I cannot believe it. I had a win last night. But Andy McNeil, he's going to join the program to help us out with the hockey schedule. That's coming up next. Everyone here at VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, is on top of all the sports on today's schedule, as well as the future impacts of NFL trades, free agency, and the draft. We are not about picks and predictions. We give you the analysis and insights you need to become a smarter better on every sport. We have the best handicappers in the business, giving you the tools to create your own betting edge. And right now, for only $50, you could put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including the members-only daily best bet emails, the point spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket guide, and, of course, all access to vsin.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops tournament for only $50 at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you, and happy to bring on to the program Andy McNeil. He is our VSIN hockey expert. Andy, how are you?
Hey, man, I heard you've got a pretty good NHL record here going, so I don't know, maybe you're the expert.
No, I am not the expert. I'm going to make that clear right now. I'm working on understanding the forecheck, so I am nowhere near an expert, but I'm listening to experts like you and then handicappers that are outstanding with analysis and just making decisions. So I've been lucky, I guess, from that regard, but looking forward to your expertise here when it comes to these games, the Bruins and the Rangers, for instance. How do you see this one?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're having fun. I think it's a fun sport to bet on. I mean, if you can deal with the swings on a day-to-day basis, a game-to-game basis, there's a lot of blown leads as of late, it seems. I don't know if it's more than usual, but it sure seems like it. Sometimes you're on the right side of them, sometimes you're on the wrong side of them. I know that's the case with myself. But yeah, this Bruins and Rangers game is intriguing. The Rangers have quite a few players missing, including Artemi Panarin, their most important forward, their most important player. Sounds like maybe they get Keandre Miller, a very talented young defenseman, back tonight. I don't see any value at the current number. I've got this priced at Boston minus 155, so I'm kind of right in the middle there. I would need the Rangers to get up there at plus 160 or better to warrant a small play. So this one's a pass for me here. I know Boston will be, you know, looking to right the ship after another defeat at the hands of the New York Islanders. They seem like they've got their number this year. They've already taken two wins from the Rangers. They were really close games. The first one went to overtime. The second one was fairly close, too, if I recall correctly. I would definitely lean towards the under here as well. But once again, I don't have a play on the side or the total in this game. But both of these teams play at a pretty slow pace. Boston, having played last night, they'll be happy to play at that kind of pace. They're not going to be looking for a wide open skating contest by any means, I'm sure. So it's I'm close on the Rangers, I guess, and lean towards the under.
So, Andy, let's move on down the card. Short card tonight, a couple games postponed, but looking at a couple teams that are playing very well recently, right? We have the Kings, winners of six straight, going into Minnesota and taking on a Wild team that's also won 4 out of 5. They had a COVID break for a couple weeks, but that one loss out of those 4 out of 5 was against the Kings. Now, Minnesota's pretty pricey favorite here, laying $1.75 with a total at 5.5, shaded towards the under at $1.20. Any position on this matchup tonight?
I'm considering one. I've backed the Kings in many of those wins throughout this streak that they've been on. They've looked pretty good, all things considered. They've got some pretty horrific underlying metrics, but when you watch this team, I think there is something there. Pritch, you were talking about the forecheck. Well, this team is one that seems to be creating some offense off of their forecheck, and that's a hard thing to try to stick a number to. Mm-hmm. It's hard to predict from game to game, but watching them, it's been rather encouraging to see how they've created that way. I'm monitoring this team. I'm monitoring this game. I do like the price. You can find plus 160, plus 155. However, I think it's worth waiting here because the market will react if it's Jonathan Quick. I think most people are expecting it to be Jonathan Quick. We saw Peterson in the last game. Quick has had a couple of really good performances, a couple of shutouts after having a really rocky start to the season. But, it's tough to project that kind of performance happening once again, being likely to happen once again, of course it can, because, he's been pretty bad for the last few seasons. Peterson is the better goaltender here. If it's him, I think you'll definitely want to back the Kings at their current price. If it's Quick, you might want to wait and let's see what the market does. You might get an even better price later.
You know, when we talk about this next game, Colorado and Arizona, Arizona kind of surprising people, I think, this year, Andy. I could be wrong about that, but the dynamic nature of Colorado on the ice, I'm always interested in the pricing on any game that they're in. So your thoughts on this matchup, Colorado versus Arizona?
Yeah, the Coyotes have been surprising people. They sure surprised the Anaheim Ducks the past two games, coming back from 3-0 to win both of those games. This one, for me, it's the total is what I'm interested in, okay. And it's my only play right now. I played over 5.5, plus 105 or better. I got a little bit of plus 110s too, and I believe there's still some of that out there if you look around. But we've got a great goaltending job for the over tonight. It's Hunter Miska in goal for the Avalanche, and we've got Aiden Hill in goal for the Arizona Coyotes, because Darcy Kuemper is dealing with an injury, I guess, and so is Antti Raanta, although it seems like the latter there is always dealing with something. So, you know, you've got a couple of third stringers here going tonight. The Avs are a team that, you know, doesn't really play at a high pace. They're you know, I think more of a defensive team than people give them credit for. But this Coyotes team is really, really skates. They really open things up. They play at a very high pace. And that's the type of game that I'm expecting tonight. And, you know, it's not always a lock, that's for sure. I bet on a couple of really bad goaltenders to go over the total in both Calgary, Toronto games earlier this week, and that didn't work out for me. But I think there should have been some movement in the total here, and there hasn't. It's basically stayed the same all day. So some value there at plus 105 or better on over 5.5 goals.
All right, looking at that as well, Andy McNeil, great as always. We thank you for your time, and good luck tonight, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks. I'm looking forward to a quiet slate and maybe getting a little extra sleep tonight.
I hear you. Sports all over the place and so much to enjoy. We all could use a break. Up next, we're going to get to Drew Martin. He's a professional bettor, college hoops. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Alvarez to win against Yildirim. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and don't forget to watch the fight live on DAZN. February 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. BetMGM is the exclusive odds provider of DAZN's U.S. boxing broadcast. It's a new customer offer and is paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, 800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, 800-270-7117 for help in Michigan, 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 800-BETSOFF in Iowa, and Tennessee, call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you, and always happy to bring on to the program a professional bettor, Drew Martin. Drew, how are you?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing good. Always good to be on with you guys on Friday. Happy Friday out there to you and James, and happy Friday out there to the listeners. Big weekend of college basketball. Tomorrow's slate looks to have, 90 to 100 games. So good time to be a sports bettor, Mike, because there's so much for the odds makers to do. This time of the year in college basketball, it's as good as any time of the calendar year, in my opinion.
Okay, I totally agree with you. Let's get to it. I'm enthralled with the Big Ten right now. I just love the basketball and the positioning or trying to position in that conference. Purdue, Penn State, what do you have in this matchup?
Yeah, this is an interesting matchup. You know, these two teams played on January 17th. It finished, I think, 80-72 with Purdue on top. And that was a game, you know, where Purdue only shot 6 of 32 from 3. That's only 18%. And, you know, it's a team in Purdue that shoots over 30% for the season from beyond the arc. So only shooting 18% in that matchup. And Penn State, it's not like they guard the three-point line very well. So I would look for a little bit of mean reversion here and Purdue to actually shoot even better and add on to the 8-point, you know, victory that they had before. So I actually think the wrong team's favored here, Mike. And in Big Ten action tonight, I like the Purdue Boilermakers plus the 1.5. That's what I've jumped on, mainly due to the mean regression from the three-point shooting. Also, the fact both Purdue offensive and defensive efficiency metrics, top 25 in the country. So they can do it on both ends of the floor.
Hey, Drew, so you were talking about huge weekend coming up, a lot of games on the card tomorrow, and lots for the bookmakers to do, right? They got to put numbers on these games. Doesn't mean we need to bet them, but they've got to book it. And so we've been doing this every Friday now. You've been hot with our, you know, it's happy hour somewhere, man. You've been hot finding some of these teams that are more, you know, not as talked about, kind of off the grid, finding a lot of winners with these Friday night cards. I'm curious, what are you kind of seeing tonight that's maybe a little off the beaten path when it comes to college basketball?
Sure, James. I mean, the happy hour specials, if you will. Actually, there's one going in about 12 minutes, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific here, LIU Brooklyn versus Bryant. And these two teams actually just played last night, James. And something that we've gotten here in 2020, 2021 season is in the smaller conferences, These teams playing back-to-back, you know, to save on travel and everything to do with COVID. So these two teams just played last night, and the game finished well over the posted total of 160, finished 168 in terms of the total. And it was a game that had 79 possessions. Both of these two teams, top 15 in terms of in the country, in terms of offensive pace, you know, getting up and down the court, how many possessions they're able to get in a game. So seeing 79 possessions in a college basketball game that doesn't go to overtime is kind of rare. And neither of these two teams, you know, the coach's quotes coming into this second matchup, going to take their foot off the pedal in terms of pace. So I bet this one, again, coming back at it, over 164. Now, the market has shifted from that 160 to 164 as the total. Again, this is LIU Brooklyn versus Bryant tonight in the Northeast Conference. I bet this one up and over 164 is the total. So I know it's high, but it's high for a reason, James.
Yeah, that tempo, college basketball, I mean, you can find those tempo games. That's outstanding right there. Drew Martin, a professional bettor, he's on the program, Betting Across America. James Salinas, Mike Pritchard with you. What about St. Louis in Richmond? Richmond's at St. Louis. I thought St. Louis had a chance to be some type of a Cinderella story in getting to the tournament, but maybe I was completely wrong about that. But they're favored in this one, -4.5, that total 144.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, you bring up a Cinderella story. I think the A-10, I think they should get multiple bids here. You know, maybe two teams into the tournament. And we've seen kind of the selection committee turn their head towards, you know, not the Power Five conferences. So I wouldn't bank on it, but I think that they should. But in this game, you know, I think the St. Louis Billikens are worth a look here. -4.5. You could get them earlier in the day at -4, but most of those have been taken out. And St. Louis, kind of a tricky handicap in terms of they've dropped their last two games, Mike, both to VCU and Dayton. But then again, talking about this A-10 conference, I think it's a pretty talented conference. So I don't think those are necessarily bad losses. And the fact, you know, when you look at matchup handicapping, what one team does very well and where another team struggles at, that is the best way to win in sports betting, in my opinion. And we find that here in terms of St. Louis, the Billikens, their offensive rebounding, top 15 in the country percentage-wise. They're a very good rebounding team. In Richmond, I'm actually, you know, good friends with their beat writer. And one thing that he told me, mid-major Matt, is they struggle down low. Their bigs aren't very talented. They're not very tough guys in terms of blocking out. So going up against, you know, the matchup-wise against teams that are very good rebounding teams like St. Louis is, that's the exact matchup you want to fade Richmond, the Spiders. So I bet personally the St. Louis Billikens -4. You can still get it at 4.5, which I like, Mike.
So, Drew, let's look at the nightcap coming up Friday night. We talked about our happy hour play. You got us one there coming up here shortly. Looking out on the West Coast, right, another one of these plays that are kind of off the radar for most of the common college basketball fan. But thinking at a game like Grand Canyon going into Seattle, Grand Canyon going in there as a 5.5-point favorite, do you have a position on this matchup?
Oh, yeah, this is one I really like. Grand Canyon, the Antelopes, talking in the WAC conference here. Now, we know the WAC conference has really been dominated in past years by New Mexico State, but I actually think Grand Canyon's going to punch their ticket to March Madness from this conference. I think they're the most talented team in the conference. Going into WAC play, they won 6 straight, you know, after a tough kind of out-of-conference schedule, so they were riding under the radar, James. And then they had the COVID 3-week layoff. They came back and played 2 games against Cal Baptist, you know, back to back, like we were just talking in the smaller conferences due to COVID. And in that second game against Cal Baptist, even their head coach, Bryce Drew, mentioned it in terms of they ran out of gas. They were tired. And Cal Baptist is a team that runs up and down the court. So now that they've had a week to kind of deal with their endurance issues in practice, going up against the Seattle team, I think they're going to be really ready to play here. One of the most talented teams, you know, in smaller conference play, the most talented team in the WAC off of a loss. I would look for Grand Canyon to really take it to Seattle, especially because Seattle, you look at who they've lost to, James, Cal State Northridge, Long Beach State, you know, Dixie State. These aren't very talented teams at all. So Grand Canyon, I think, rolls tonight. I bet them personally -5. Those have been taken out. Now it's mostly 5.5s. But I think the Grand Canyon Antelopes, they roll tonight over Seattle.
We're speaking with Drew Martin, a professional sports bettor, helping us out with college hoops, not only the schedule today, but looking ahead to Saturday, too. Drew, I'm watching the Big Ten break noses. You know, teams are scrapping, right? Just trying to get for that seeding, for that tournament. We have a situation, I think, Kansas is fighting for their lives, too. I mean, I think they get the benefit of the doubt, but they take on Baylor. What a statement that would make if Kansas could get the win here. Your thoughts on this game, though?
Yeah, I think Kansas is actually going to have a tough time doing that, okay, Mike. I mean, these two teams played, January 18th, and Baylor beat them 77-69. Now, I know the venue changes, but that was a game where Kansas shot over 50% from behind the arc. I don't think Kansas is going to replicate that again, especially because Baylor is so good defensive efficiency-wise, and they're the number one three-point shooting team in the country. Now, Baylor's a little bit tricky handicap in terms of, you know, taking a break with COVID. How do teams return? They've already had one game under their belt, but it's still a little bit tricky. That's what's keeping me off of it from laying the points here with Baylor. But if you made me bet it, I would be on the Baylor Bears, Mike.
So, Drew, jumping ahead to tomorrow, like you said, huge board tomorrow. Anything that you're looking at for Saturday play?
Yeah, guys, I'm looking at Florida State. You know, it's not necessarily an off-the-radar game, but in ACC play, they're going up against UNC. UNC is a team, North Carolina, just 65% from the free throw line. Where they do well, the Tar Heels, is offensive rebounding, and they're able to kind of push people around down low. Except Florida State, you know, Florida State's long, they're strong, they're good defense, they're good rebounding team. I don't think they're going to be able to do that. I don't look for North Carolina to have much success at all. Plus the fact the Seminoles head coach, Leonard Hamilton, he's got it rolling there in Tallahassee now, 74% from the free throw line as well. So in this tight, you know, point spread range, I think they'll be able to knock down their free throws. I like Florida State a lot. And plus, guys, just here in a short range, you know, I think it opened, what, -1 even, -1.5. That's what I like the Seminoles at. And even on top of that, I think the Seminoles are kind of, you know, I'm not a big futures bettor, but after the big boys, you know, the Baylor, Gonzagas, Michigans of the world, I think they're in that next realm, you know, making the Final Four, maybe take a flyer on a national championship look on the Florida State Seminoles. Good defense, good offense, top 10 in offensive efficiency. I would look towards the Seminoles here as a long shot.
And they're deep too, Drew. I mean, who's that player that's coming off the bench for them? He's amazing.
Yeah, they got a bunch.
A bunch of players. Is it Barnes? Is it Barnes that's coming off the bench or?
Yeah. To tell you the truth, they got 4 or 5 guys that rotated.
Yeah, it's crazy what they have right there. Florida State, how about that? Drew Martin with some nuggets. I love it. Happy hour has started. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Hey, have fun. Enjoy it, man. Be safe this weekend.
You too. You do the same. That'll do it for hour number one. Hour number two is upon us. NBA as well. It's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.